Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, that is page 997 in your pew Bible. Revelation chapter 5, I thought today I would tell you who the Antichrist is. No, I'm not doing that. I'll leave that to Kelly. Revelation chapter 5, let's stand together as we read God's Word. And we're going to read the entire chapter, all 14 verses of Revelation chapter 5, page 997. Let's join together as we read God's Word. Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll written on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sing a new song, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Thank you so much. Each Sunday, or each month, on the first Sunday of the month, I try to share a message about the cross, about Christ's crucifixion, about the elements of communion, about the cost that Jesus paid in order that we might walk in fellowship with Him. We began this series in August, and I titled it, "Behold the Lamb." The first Sunday in August, we looked at the simple lamb. In September, we looked at the shorn lamb. And last month, we looked at the silent lamb. Today, as we close out this series of messages, I want us to look at the spotless lamb. It was necessary that the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for our sins, be spotless. And by being spotless, I mean without blemish, without sin, without any imperfection. Our sins, the sins of mankind, the sin pattern that began in the Garden of Eden and has continued on throughout mankind's history and still continues today, required a lamb to be slain, a lamb that was without spot or without blemish. The Jewish Passover, when the Jews were going to be set free from the bondage of Egypt and be liberated to go into the promised land, and the type and shadow that was for our lives, that we would, by the blood of the Lamb, be set free from the power and the kingdom of darkness and the power of sin, and would be set free from that power so that we too could begin a journey toward a promised land. God told Moses in Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, He described the lamb that had to be slain and its blood put over the doorpost and on the lintels of the door. And this is what God said, Your lamb shall be without blemish. Shall be without blemish. It couldn't be just any lamb. It couldn't be a lamb that maybe just had a small spot on it. Couldn't be a lamb that had just a very small limp to it. It couldn't be a lamb that just had a very small, almost unnoticeable defect in it. You know how when you own a car, and I've never sold a car. I tried it one time. And what I found is that most of the people who come to buy a car aren't there to buy a car. They just have nothing else to do. So they want to ruin your Saturday by telling you I'll be there at 1 o'clock, and they may not show up at all. But if they do show up, they're not there to buy the car. They are there to criticize the car. You've enjoyed the car. The car's been done well. The car still runs. The car, you know, is all together. And you advertise. You didn't advertise brand new car. You advertise it's a car. But they come out and they don't just kick the tires. They open it. They close the doors. They open the hood. They look in the hood. And all the time they're telling you what's wrong with your car. And within about 10 minutes you've decided I wouldn't sell you the car if you were the only person on earth who wanted to buy the car. I'd rather keep the car and drive it till it falls apart and blow the horn at you every time I see you than sell you my car. You see, we don't notice things. We get accustomed to it. But others who look at things, they notice the things that for us have become unnoticeable. So God says to Moses, this lamb you pick out, I'm going to look at it. I'm going to critique it. I'm going to say this lamb is worthy or this lamb is unworthy. So don't pick out just any lamb. It has to be a lamb without blemish. And later on in Leviticus 22, verse 21, the Lord says this, When anyone offers a sacrifice of well-being to me in fulfillment of a vow or as a freewill offering from the herd or from the flock to be acceptable, to meet my standard, to meet the standard that I've set, the bar that I have set, in order for it to be acceptable to me, it must be perfect. There shall be no blemish in it. So God says to the children of Israel, not just the Passover, not just on the Day of Atonement, any time you bring an offering to me that is a free will offering, an offering from your heart, it can't be the bottom of the barrel. It can't be the leftovers. It can't be that which you were going to get rid of anyway. It has to be acceptable, it must be perfect. There shall be no blemish in it. So now we go all the way out of the Old Testament, we go into almost the end of the New Testament, and we listen to Peter as he describes Christ in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And now listen to how Peter describes Christ as the Lamb, the sacrifice. He said it this way, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. Peter picks up on that same theme, that Christ, when Christ came, He was not just any offering. He wasn't just anyone. He was without blemish. He was without spot. He was without defect. He was perfect in order to be acceptable to God as the sacrifice for our sins. It's why the Scripture tells us that Christ was in all ways tempted like we are, but then he adds three more words, yet without sin. Jesus did not sin. In fact, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, he committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. That is the Christ who died for us. It wasn't just any offering. It wasn't just any sacrifice. It wasn't just, you know, it's good enough for me. No, Jesus was perfect. Jesus was without sin. He was born without sin. He was tempted to sin in every temptation you and I face, yet he chose not to sin. He was without blemish. He was acceptable, the only acceptable offering to God. That is why the prophet Isaiah could say that all of our righteousness, all of our goodness, all the good things we do, all the things that we hold to ourselves as a credit, all the things that we mark off and say, oh, that's a good point, that's a good point, that's a good point. He said all of those things in God's sight, when God is looking at the sacrifice that would be necessary to take away your sins and my sins, Isaiah said they're all like filthy rags. So now the question becomes, so how do I respond to a spotless lamb? What is my acceptable response to a lamb who is spotless, who committed no sin, who is without blemish, who is without defect? Well, I think our text shows us how we are to respond. And as we read through our text today, I don't know if you noticed it, there was a couple things that stand out. But one is the way Jesus is described by one of the elders. When John begins to weep and say and realize there's no one in all of their effort, in all of their work, in all of their self-righteousness, in all of their goodness, there is no one who can break the seals and open this scroll. And one of the elders says to him, don't weep. Behold, the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And yet when John looks, he does not tell us the description of a lion. He begins to describe the Lamb of God, a lamb as if it had been slaughtered. He sees Jesus. And out of that becomes a response. Revelations 5:5, we read it a little earlier. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And John looks to see this lion, and instead of seeing a lion, he sees the Lamb of God. And John begins to tell us how heaven and earth respond to the Lamb of God. And if you're going to notice something with me, it begins very, I won't say silently, but it begins with just a small group who responds. But as they begin to respond, others begin to join in the chorus. And as others begin to join in the chorus, before long, all of God's creation is joining in this chorus of worship and praise. Revelations 5:8, beginning in verse 8. Speaking of the Lamb, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, so we've got 28, four living creatures, 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sing a new song, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open his seals, for you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe, and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priest serving our God, and they will reign on earth. So this chorus of worship and praise begins with the four living creatures and the 24 elders. But now notice, as they begin to offer up their voices in praise and worship of this spotless Lamb, notice what happens in verse 11. He said, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands singing with full voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" So now this little chorus that began with the four living creatures and the 24 elders has now increased so that all of the angels, and John can't even number them. The New Revised Standard Version says myriads, which simply means there were so many there I could not count them. But then he says, and thousands of thousands. Suddenly they begin singing, John said, with full voice. Can you imagine what that must sound like? With thousands and thousands and thousands of angels singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." But now listen to the next part, verse 13 of that same chapter. "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and all that is in them." Think about this. Every creature in heaven and on earth. You're a creature. But so's a dog. And so's a cat. And so's a lion. And so's a gorilla. And yet somehow, in this kingdom of God, every creature will have a voice, and they will lift up that voice, but not just on the earth, under the earth. Every worm has a voice that one day will be lifted up. And not only under the earth, in the sea. Every whale, every speckled trout, every grouper, every red snapper has a voice. Every Jaws has a voice that will one day be lifted up in praise to the Lamb of God. He said, under the earth, in the sea, all that is in them singing. They're going to be singing. "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. That day is going to be, in human vocabulary, indescribable. Can you imagine what it is going to be like when we begin lifting our voice and we begin to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb," and every creature on earth is echoing that, "Worthy is the Lamb," and every fish is singing, "Worthy is the Lamb," and every creature that is living and is within the earth begins to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." The sound of it will be unlike anything we could describe. The volume of it will be unlike anything we could ever describe. Even every Methodist will lift their voice and with full voice sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." It is going to be beyond description, beyond imagination. Psalm 95 tells me how to get ready. You know, in any time Eleanor sings in the, is it the Tallahassee Choir, Eleanor? She sings in the Tallahassee Choir. And of course, you know Eleanor has a beautiful voice, but she sings in that choir. But I would almost guarantee that on the day of the concert, they don't hand them some music and say, there's going to be 5,000 people here to hear us tonight, so here's what we want you to sing. Everybody get ready. We're going to sing in 5 minutes. It's my estimate that Eleanor and the other members of that choir probably spend hours upon hours upon hours upon hours rehearsing for one event, rehearsing for one night, rehearsing for one concert that may not last an hour, but it is very likely, and I don't know, Eleanor may correct me after service, but I would dare say they probably invest 40 hours or more just in preparation for that one concert. And when it's over, nobody is going to come up to them and say, that was a really good job. I mean, they have done what they're supposed to do, and now the concert is over. There is coming one day for me and you and for everyone on the earth, in the earth, under the earth, everyone in the sea, under the sea, everyone in the heavens. There is coming one day a concert unlike any that has ever been held. It's going to be a concert when all that God created begins to sing to the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God. And so what the Bible tells us to do in the meantime is start rehearsing. Start getting ready. Psalm 95, verse 6, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Psalm 98, verse 1, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. Ephesians 5, 19, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the heart. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Every time we gather in this church and we begin the service with a song, with a reading from Scripture, with prayer, we begin that. It's not just for today. It is a recognition that we're rehearsing, we're practicing, we're fine-tuning, because we understand that one day we are going to stand before the Lamb of God. We are going to behold Christ, and we're going to see that one who died for my sins and your sins and for the sins of all mankind. And it is just going to begin to flow out of us like a river, a song to the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. So every time you get an opportunity to rehearse, you ought to jump on it. You ought to say, I'm going to give it all I got. We may not be singing but three verses, but I'm going to sing those three verses with everything within me, because I am rehearsing for that day when I stand before the Lamb of God and I lift up my voice to the Lord. And here's the good news. Here's more good news. Every one of you and every person who says, I can't carry a tune in a bucket, I can't sing, I just make a joyful noise to the Lord, I just mouth the words, I don't sing them because nobody wants to hear my voice, I've got good news for you. One day, when you stand before the Lamb of God and you open your mouth, you are going to sing better than Willie Nelson. You're going to sing better than the most talented opera singer. You're going to sing better than someone who opens shows in New York City. It's going to be coming out of your mouth. And so I want to encourage you, every opportunity you get, sing to the Lord, lift up your voice, and bless His name. This is the month of Thanksgiving. But for those of us who know Christ, every day is Thanksgiving Day. In just a moment, we're going to come to the table of the Lord. We're going to take in our hands that bread that represents the broken body of the Lamb of God. We're going to take in our hands that cup that represents the shed blood of the Lamb of God. And as we do so, I want to encourage you, let's not only do that with thanks for what He has done, but let's also do it with a resolute emphasis, a resolute choice, that until I see Jesus, I'm going to be rehearsing. Because there is coming a day in which I am going to join with all of creation and sing to the Lord a song that begins, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Let's pray together. Lord, You are worthy. Worthy of glory, worthy of honor, worthy of our praise. We have no excuse, Lord, of why we cannot or will not praise You. There is nothing that we can say, Lord, that would justify us not praising and worshiping You now. Because Your word clearly tells us there is coming a day in which all of creation will sing to the Lord with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered." So Lord, today, as we take the elements, the bread that symbolizes the broken body, the cup that symbolizes the shed blood of the Lamb of God, may our hearts be filled with praise and worship. And may we decide in our heart that I will be one who gives the Lord praise. I will lift up my voice to give Him the glory and the honor that is due. In the name of Jesus, amen.